Well, good morning. We have now come to the midway point of our cross-training teaching series. The past 2 weeks, we've explored what daily cross-training looks like spiritually and emotionally. And today, our focus is on one that everyone loves, financially. Yes, that's right. It's important to understand what God and what God's word says and what we are taught through this word to be financially fit disciples of Jesus. And I know what goes through everyone's minds when they understand a money message is coming. Lots of times you think, well, I don't like them. Or maybe you think, well, that would be good for that one person to hear today. But in reality, we all need to daily grow in our financial fitness as followers of Jesus. So this morning, as we continue this cross-training series, some of us may be challenged to once again grow. And to grow in our fitness, whatever type of fitness it is, it takes discipline and hard work. And God wants us to put in the work. He wants us to take the risk that we have as we live our lives for Him. He wants you and I to grow in our faith. He wants us to grow in our trust in Him. That He will provide all that we need. So in our time together, we're going to see how God expects us to grow. Not Pastor Scott. We'll see how God expects us to grow in our financial cross-training fitness, living for Him. Before we go any further, let's pray. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, you give us every word for our benefit in your Holy Scriptures. We pray, Lord, now that as we dig into your word of truth again this day, you send the Holy Spirit upon this place, that my words may be your words. And the words that are spoken here this day may build deeper into the hearts and minds of these, your children, that together we may continue to grow and see that you are always with us, working through us, especially as we continue this cross-training. And we ask this in Jesus' name, amen. We're going to be spending almost all of our time in our gospel reading that Kent just read for us today from Matthew 25. I'm not going to reread the whole thing. I'm just going to throw out a couple verses that you're going to hear throughout. Verse 19 said, after a long time, the master of those servants came back. Verse 25 talks about the third servant that was afraid, and so they went off and hid the money. And then 27 talks about how the master said, you should have at least deposited my money in the bank, as I would have received it all back with interest when I returned. So this parable is actually not very complicated. God puts his treasure into our hands. And he asks us to take the risk of using it for him. Not just to use it for ourselves, not to just hide it in the ground and give it back one day. So as we walk our way through this, I'm trying to make it very practical for us this morning. And by doing that, we're going to see that this parable teaches us three basic principles that will help improve our financial cross-training. The first one is this. God owns, we manage. God owns, we manage. It was around this time in 2006, I just started my ministry, that I stood outside overlooking the amazing creation of God. Around me were hills covered with corn and beans. And across the road were cattle grazing in a large field. Standing next to me was a man whose faith in God is so strong that daily he is able to give everything he has to the Lord. And as we were standing there taking it all in, he said to me, he said, "Pastor, none of this is mine. It all belongs to God. He's just given it to me to take care of for him." God owns, we manage. It sounds simple, but it's so hard. We have trouble here in our lives with the concept of ownership and possessions. Because so often we think what we have belongs to us. It is ours. I mean, it starts at a very young age, right? Ask the 2-year-old. That kid thinks that toy is theirs. We think the house we have, the land we possess, the cars and toys and money, we think it's all ours. But it's not. It doesn't belong to us. Our sinful selves, and then add into that the American culture that we live in, makes it so hard for us and our children and grandchildren. Yes, grandparents, I know you guys struggle with this too. Makes it so hard for all of us to understand that everything we have does not belong to us. In fact, this is the temptation that got Adam and Eve into trouble. The devil tempted them with the very basic idea that you eat from the tree and you will be like God. In other words, you don't really need God. You don't really need God. Be your own God. Then it will all be yours. But which is the greater risk? To pretend that we can handle life thinking we own our lives? Or to trust our life to the God who has all things under control in his strong hands? Because do you and I really think we can keep our heart beating every day by our own strength? Do we possess that power? Do we own that ability? Do we really think that we can make the crops grow that provide our food? Do we own that ability? Do we really think we can bring about the miracle of healing when we're ill? Do we really think we can manage death when it comes by our own doing? Do we own that ability? When God asks us to manage, not own, he's really doing us a huge favor. He's protecting us. He's protecting us from the foolish risk of thinking that we've got it. Growing in our financial cross training leads us to be able to say, "Take my life, Lord. All that I have, it's yours." But also moves us to be able to say, "Help me manage life today for your purpose, not mine." God owns. We simply manage the life that he has given to us. Second, Second thing God teaches us here in this parable is that God entrusts, we invest. God entrusts, that is, God assigns, we invest. The master in the parable generously and graciously gave what was his to his servants. And as you work your way through the parable, it's clear that he expected his servants to invest what he put in their hands. Remember, it says he entrusted it to them. Now, two of the servants realized this. They were content with what the master had given them. One had five, one had two, but they were content with what the master had given them, and they graciously took this gift that the master had entrusted to them, and then they invested it for him. And in the end, doubled the amount he had given them. The third servant, well, you know, he wasn't quite as happy. He didn't really quite trust the master. So what did he do? He took what the master had entrusted to him and he buried it. And then he simply gave back what he had been given. He said he was afraid. He didn't want to risk using the money the master had given him. He didn't want to risk investing the money the master had given him. Are we afraid? Like that third servant sometimes, are we afraid of failing God with what he's given to us? Is that why we act the way we do sometimes with it? We hold some back for ourselves? But here's the thing. We got no reason to fear God. Jesus took the risk for us. Remember? We hear about him every Sunday here. With the fear of failure removed, we can risk investing our life for God. I heard it once said that if God owns it all, what's it doing in my hands? If God owns it all, what's it doing in my hands? Why does God do this? Why does he put his treasures in your hands and in mine? Why does he put his treasure in our hands and ask us to invest it for him? There's one reason. Is that it brings you joy. When you invest it for him, it brings you joy. I've never seen anyone find lasting joy when they take what God has given to them and use it just for their own good. Clothes, shoes go out of style. Cars and boats rust. Injuries happen. Dreams are broken. Everything here is perishable. Sure, these things might bring happiness for a time. And they're not bad. But never do they produce lasting joy. But I could tell you this. I have seen incredible joy in people who step out and invest with what God has given them. And many of them are blessed with all these things that do perish. And yet they find their immense joy in what God has given them by investing it back into him. This is growth. This is faith. This is trust in him who so graciously gives. This is financial cross training at work. You see, when God gives to us so generously as his followers, he wants you and me to invest our lives so that it brings joy to him and joy to others. God has blessed us so that we can be a blessing to other people. Still today, you hear about people admiring Mother Teresa because she used all that she had and invested it all to help the sick and dying in Calcutta. But hasn't God put the same opportunity in your hands and mine? To invest it for him? Many of you know this. I've seen it. I've heard the stories. You've shared them with me, how God has worked through your cross training. And every single one of you that has shared how God has worked in your life has said not only that you have received so much joy from blessing others, but you've also seen God continue to bless you. Every single one of you. The one servant had 5, and what did he end up getting? 10. Do you think he just stopped there? Probably not. The other had 2, and he had 2 more. But every single one of you has received so much joy from blessing others, but you've also seen God continue to bless you. God gives, and he wants us to invest. So that this life is joyous for us and for those that we touch with our investments from God. Okay, last one. Principle number 3 that God teaches us here in this parable. God expects a return. Verse 19 says that after a long time, that is, the master gave the servants an ample amount of time to invest that money, the master of those servants came back and he settled the accounts with them, meaning the master wanted a report how each of his servants had administered the funds that he left in their charge. God expects a return from his disciples of what he has given to them. Back at the beginning of chapter 24 here in Matthew, we see that this teaching that Jesus is doing is for his disciples. So as his disciples of today, he is teaching us that God expects a return of what he's given to us. And here's where each of us really are going to be maybe a little bit uncomfortable, or maybe we need to take a look at our lives as disciples of Jesus and see how we can grow in our financial cross training. I don't know what you do with your money. I don't know if you give any money back to God or if you're giving over 25% back to God. That's between you and the Lord. But what I do know is that no matter if we are blessed with a lot or a little, we are not called to just bury our treasure given to us. We're to take some risk, garner up some more trust and faith in the one that provides, and invest in him. So just for a moment, take stock of where you are. Don't shout it out loud. Just take stock of where you are in this part of your CrossFitness. Are you doing well? And if you are, praise God. Praise God and see if he's challenging you to continue to grow in your strength. You're not doing so hot right now? Okay, it's all right. Start asking yourself, do you want to grow in this area of CrossFitness right now? And if you do, amazing, praise God. And start asking him to work on your heart. See where he wants you to begin. Now, again, it's not like you can go in and bench 200 pounds unless the Holy Spirit really fills you up. So start with 1% of what you make, or 2% or 3%, and work your way up. Allow the Holy Spirit to do the training. Follow his lead. If he pushes you faster than you expected, praise be to God. Oh, and a quick tip. The sooner you start doing this, the healthier financially your CrossFitness becomes, and the easier the growth happens by the work of the Spirit. God has created you and me to give to him. So the question that God wants us each to answer is, what will I give back to God? What percentage of what he has given me will I give to him that shows him that I place him first in my life? Biblically, right, we're encouraged to consider giving a percentage of what God has given to us. And when we look at it this way, it's a concrete way of saying, God, I am putting you right here. I am putting you first in my life. And so when I give a percentage of my income first to God before I spend it on anything else, you know what this is? It's an act of worship. It's an act of worship, saying to God, you're first, not last, not somewhere in between, but you are first in my life. Now, please understand this, that how God leads you to answer this question has absolutely no bearing on your salvation. None. That's done. The life Jesus gave, his own, rescued you from sin, devil, and the death. It's complete. Praise be to God. So there's no reason to be afraid of the master. We have no reason to fear. The greatest reward is already ours. He says, enter into the joy of your master. God has redeemed us in Christ to live under him in his kingdom and serve him. The precious blood of Jesus has purchased and won us from all sin, from all selfishness, from death, and from the power of the devil. The cleansing waters of holy baptism has brought us into Christ's church and given us the Spirit to live and work for his kingdom. Grace upon grace upon grace. But now, in response to that gift, in response to what God has entrusted to us to manage for him and to return to him, we have the chance to grow. Expanding our financial cross-training fitness faithfully, using everything that we have in such a way that it will bring benefits to his kingdom, not the kingdom that we're building here for ourselves in our lives sometimes. God is challenging us here in this parable to grow. He's challenging us to grow in our financial cross training. He challenges us to see that when we invest in him and in his kingdom, he gets the glory and we get the continued blessings both here now and in the world yet to come. So what are you going to take from this parable? I don't know. But I know the Holy Spirit's going to work in you. Then you can ask these questions of yourself. How is God moving you? And as you grow in your fitness, as the Holy Spirit works more and more on your heart, it is going to be amazing to see how God changes your life. God owns and we manage. God entrusts we invest. And God expects a return, and so we return what he has given. Together, we take this next step in our cross training, rejoicing greatly in what God has given us and allowing and asking the Holy Spirit to help strengthen our hearts as we give from what we've been given. For friends, an unfailing promise attaches itself to this faithful stewardship of what God has given to us. When we use the things entrusted to us for God and his purposes, we will be blessed here and forever with him in heaven. As someday we will hear Jesus speak these words to us. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter now into the joy of your master. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.